Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019. Coming up this hour,
another escalation in tensions between the U.S. and China.
Right now we have a very high-stakes poker game going on.
President Trump considers blacklisting more Chinese companies.
It looks increasingly unlikely that we'll have a deal, at least in the short run.
No word from either side about plans for another round of talks.
Former Trump aides Hope Hicks and Annie Donaldson have been subpoenaed by the chair of the House Judiciary Committee. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stash, Aaron Sports. Easy win for the Yankees in Baltimore. Mets scored bottom of the ninth to top Washington. Playoff wins for Toronto in the NBA. St. Louis in the NHL.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Insight, BNY Mellon's Pershing must-attend event for the financial advice community, June 12th through the 14th in Phoenix. If you haven't registered, visit BNYMelloninsight.com to register today.
U.S. futures are edging lower this morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 5 points right now. Dow futures down 40. NASDAQ futures down 20 points. The DAX in Germany is little changed, while the CAC in Paris is down 0.2%. Price of the 10-year up 1/32nd. The yield 2.42%. Two-year Treasury 2.24%. NYMEX crude oil down 1% or 67 cents at $62.46 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed. It's up 80 cents to $1,274 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1160 against the dollar, while the yen is at 110.45. John.
And we begin with another escalation in tensions between the U.S. and China as President Trump considers blacklisting up to five Chinese surveillance firms over human rights violations. And Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has the very latest from Hong Kong.
Among the companies are Hangzhou Hikvision Digital Technology and Zhejiang Dahua Technology. The restrictions similar to those on Huawei. The companies have been accused by human rights groups of aiding China's surveillance and persecution of Uyghurs in Xinjiang. Some of the technology relies on American-made components. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. Now, if President Trump does blacklist these companies, it risks escalating the trade standoff with Beijing, according to Peterson Institute senior fellow Mary Lovely.
The president, rather than looking for a solution in terms of working closely with the Chinese, has ratcheted up the pressure on the Chinese. So it looks increasingly unlikely that we'll have a deal, at least in the short run.
This latest move could stoke fears in Beijing that President Trump's ultimate goal is to contain China rather than strike a deal.
Still, as soon as last night, China's ambassador to the U.S. said they're still open to another round of negotiations.
China remains ready to continue our talks with our American colleagues to reach a conclusion. Our door is still open.
In an interview with Fox News, the Chinese ambassador said Beijing is still committed to addressing the trade imbalance, but blames the U.S. for the breakdown in negotiations.
Sources tell us the Trump administration held off on blacklisting Chinese companies while trade negotiations were underway, taking action only after talks hit an impasse. Where that leaves us now is anyone's guess. Myron Brilliant is head of international affairs at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Right now we have a very high-stakes poker game going on, but that's really not in the interest of either country. I think China has more to lose here, more at stake, because the tariffs are going to hit them harder, but it's going to hit both our countries.
If China were to retaliate with a ban on sales of Apple products, for example, Goldman Sachs says that could wipe out 29% of Apple's earnings.
All that turmoil, but not a lot of movement for stocks in Asia as equities traded in a tight range. Yeah, Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, John and Nathan. Well, Chinese stocks extended losses in the afternoon session while the offshore yuan erased gains against the dollar. Elsewhere, Korean authorities called a meeting to discuss what they're calling distortion in won trading. A Bank of Korea official saying Asia's worst performing currency so far this year has fallen too far too fast. And in Indonesia, stocks in the rupiah fell amid political unrest in the wake of the nation's election, while most Indian stocks were higher ahead of election results there due Thursday. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. Brexit is back in the news with Theresa May facing increased pressure to abandon her divorce deal and quit as prime minister. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with more on that. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and John. In a hastily arranged speech, Prime Minister Theresa May promised members of Parliament a vote on holding a second Brexit referendum. It's part of her attempt, her fourth attempt, to get her Brexit deal passed. But within minutes of the speech ending, pro-Brexit Conservatives and the opposition Labour Party vowed to vote against her plan. She's now facing increasing pressure to abandon her deal and quit as Prime Minister. The pound trading down 0.3% at 1.2666. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts. Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thanks. Back here in the U.S., the Fed is in focus with minutes from the central bank's latest meeting due at 2 p.m. Wall Street time, and as bets for a rate cut increase, one Fed official concedes December's rate hike may have been a little too much. St. Louis President Jim Bullard spoke to Bloomberg Radio and Television in Beijing.
Rates are at a good place in the U.S. right now. If anything, we're a little bit restrictive, I would say, and I am concerned that we may have slightly overdone it with our December rate hike, but I was pleased that the committee pivoted.
We'll also be looking for any comments on the trade war in today's minutes. So far, Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren tells us he doesn't expect tariffs to disrupt growth.
My assumption is that the effects are going to be pretty temporary and that both sides have an incentive to actually reach an agreement. That may turn out to be a bad assumption. I hope it's not a bad assumption.
At the same time, Rosengren says uncertainty surrounding the trade dispute gives the Fed another reason to be patient and keep interest rates steady.
Now, retailers are sounding the alarm over trade. Home Depot, JCPenney, and Kohl's all warn tariffs will boost costs. Today, we hear from another big name in the sector when Target reports earnings. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has more.
Bloomberg Intelligence says Target's traffic and sales momentum may have continued in the first quarter. The chain has remodeled stores, introduced private label brands, expanded curbside delivery, and rolled out various marketing initiatives. The need to keep prices low will keep margins under pressure. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. And futures are edging lower with S&P futures down 6 points, Dow futures down 46 now, NASDAQ futures down 23.5. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Yeah, thanks, Nathan. 5:07 on Wall Street. Yeah, let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Gerald Nadler, has issued subpoenas ordering two more of President Trump's former advisors to testify before the panel and hand over documents. Former White House Communications Director Hope Hicks and Annie Donaldson, deputy to former White House Counsel Don McGahn, have been subpoenaed. Meanwhile, Nadler says House Democrats are willing to go to court to compel testimony from McGahn. He failed to show up yesterday before a House panel after the White House blocked him from testifying. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says Democrats will go down the wrong path if they move closer to impeachment against President Trump.
My impression is that the leadership in the House is not so keen on that option and doesn't think the business of presidential harassment is actually a great way for them to go in to the 2020 election.
Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I think impeaching and choosing to not impeach when there's an abundance of evidence could also be construed as politically motivated as well. And we can't be scared of elections. We need to uphold the rule of law.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin testifies before House Democrats this morning. Mnuchin will likely face another confrontational session with House Financial Services Committee Chair Maxine Waters over his refusal to turn over the president's tax returns. There was some progress made last month on agreements on infrastructure. However, today's follow-up meeting between President Trump and Democratic leaders may be rough. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi emerged from their session with Trump 3 weeks ago, seemingly united like they've never been before on the need for what Schumer called a big and bold commitment.
We agreed on a number, which was very, very good, $2 trillion for infrastructure.
What could possibly go wrong?
We agreed that we would meet again to talk about how it would be paid for.
Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell has already said he'll not support anything that feels like a tax increase. Democrats left the funding question in Trump's lap.
He agreed that he would meet with us in 3 weeks and present his pay-fors.
Otherwise known as, now comes the hard part. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Dozens of demonstrations were held in cities across the country yesterday in reaction to the passage of restrictive abortion laws in several states. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:10 of Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, easy win for the Yankees, close one for the Mets. The Yanks have the advantage of playing the lowly Orioles 19 times each season. A couple of Yankees in particular taking advantage, like Gary Sanchez. Three-run homer in the ninth inning to win Monday's game. Three-run homer in the first inning last night. He, like his teammate Gleyber Torres, have hit 8 home runs this season just against Baltimore pitching. Clint Frazier has also excelled against the Orioles. He homered twice in 11-4 rout. Domingo Herman has turned into the Yankee ace. Another win. He went 5 innings. David Hale, just up from Scranton, worked the last 4. The Yankees have won 22 of the last 29 games. The Mets have put the nightmare of getting swept in Miami last weekend behind them. Another win. They pulled it out in the ninth inning.
The 3-1 pitch. Swinging a bouncer toward short. Backing up Turner. He backhands. Throws to first. Close play. Safe the call. Perhaps you could put it in the books. The Mets storm out of the dugout. There's no doubt the Nationals are going to wait to see if this warrants a challenge. And that's it. The Mets have won the ball game here in the bottom of the ninth inning.
WCBS had the call. Mets were up and then trailed 5-4. Pete Alonso's home run in the eighth inning tied the game, and they won it 6-5 over Washington. NBA playoffs, Toronto 120, Milwaukee 102. The East Finals are tied at 2 with Golden State winning the winner. St. Louis Blues off to the Stanley Cup Final, first time since 1970. They finished off San Jose 5-1 to win that series in 6 games. They will take on the Bruins for the Stanley Cup. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. And other sports news, NFL owners meet today to consider refining the rule that allows challenges involving pass interference. Owners voted in March to allow interference calls or non-calls to be challenged by coaches and reviewed via replay as a one-year experiment. The tweak proposed this week would require coaches' challenge to review pass interference in the final 2 minutes of each half. Right now, that decision is up to officials. This is Bloomberg. And just ahead, we'll speak to Lori Calvacini. She's head of U.S. Equity Strategy at RBC Capital Markets. What to do with your investments amidst the U.S.-China trade war? This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Nathan Hager, U.S. futures are edging lower. European stocks are drifting after a mixed session in Asia as investors digest the latest confrontations between the U.S. and China over advanced technology. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down nearly 4 points now. Dow futures down 31 points. NASDAQ futures down 17. The DAX in Germany up 0.1%, while the CAC in Paris is down 0.1%. The FTSE in London up nearly 0.5%. Price of the 10-year up 1/32. The yield 2.42%. 2-year Treasury yield 2.24%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.1% or 71 cents. $62.42 gets you a barrel of West Texas Intermediate. COMEX gold, little changed, up 80 cents, $1,274 to the troy ounce. The euro, 1.1164 against the dollar. The yen, 110.43. Today we get earnings from Lowe's and Target before the bell. The Fed releases the minutes from its April meeting at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Full coverage on Bloomberg Radio. That is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, good morning, Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is calling a strategy session as the small number of House Democrats seeking impeachment proceedings against President Trump continues to grow. Yesterday, the president refused to allow former White House counsel Don McGahn to appear at a House hearing on the Russia probe. Meanwhile, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee issued subpoenas ordering two more of Trump's former advisors, Hope Hicks and Annie Donaldson, to testify before the panel and hand over documents. In baseball, the Yankees downed the Orioles 11-4. The Mets beat the Nationals 6-5. The Red Sox lost. The A's and Giants were winners. The NBA Eastern Conference Finals is tied at 2 games apiece after the Raptors beat the Bucks last night. In the NHL, let's party like it's 1970. Last night, the Blues won the Western Conference after beating the Sharks 5-1. St. Louis now faces the Bruins in the Stanley Cup Final, just like 1970. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 520 on Wall Street. We're live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, investors digesting the latest confrontation between the U.S. and China. So what is an investor to do? Let's put that question this morning to Lori Calvasina. She's head of U.S. Equity Strategy at RBC Capital Markets. Lori, thanks for being with us this morning. I suppose I could always stick it under my mattress, but the returns there aren't so great.
No, and look, we do eventually expect to be, you know, sort of pounding the table and buyers of this dip. I would say what you do today really depends on your time horizon. If you're a shorter term investor, I do think there is probably some more downside to this pullback that we've been seeing. If you go back to 2010, 2011, and 2015, 2016, those rallies off growth scare bottoms all had a number of 4 to 10% pullbacks, and we haven't quite done that yet in this one. I estimate you could go down as low as 2750, 2650. We've told people we'd be starting to buy around 2750. We'd probably be pounding the table around 2650. You know, if you are a longer term investor and thinking about things on a 6 to 12 month view, I do think we're going to be higher from here. We still like our price target of 2950.
Okay, like the subway, I always wait for the car that's not crowded. Is there a car that's too crowded right now? You're looking for spaces where investors are not going instinctively?
We like the consumer staples sector from a positioning perspective. When we look at the sell side, we think that's a great way to gauge sentiment across different investor camps. And staples is about as out of favor as we've ever seen it. That's usually a great 3 to 5 year forward performance signal. And we have been seeing that sector act better since these trade war fears returned. In terms of what the crowded car, though, that we're really wary of right now, I would say healthcare. We just crunched through the 13F filings for hedge funds as of 1Q. And we were actually really surprised to see that healthcare, its crowding problem got worse in the first quarter. It's the biggest overweight that we see in hedge funds right now relative to the S&P. That overweight actually expanded during the first quarter. And it's more crowded now than it was back in 2014, 2015, which was the last time we saw a pretty big rotation out of it.
Small cap stocks, are they immune to trade concerns?
They're not entirely. And you know, what's interesting is that the price action in small cap over the last month or so has not been that great. We do think small caps are cheap, relative to large, so they should benefit from positive catalysts. I think there are two things to consider from the small cap angle is, one, they're more leveraged to the domestic economy. So whenever international jitters flare up, small caps are usually a safety trade. They're not really acting like that right now. So you have to ask yourselves why. I think the issue is margins. We've been seeing margin expectations for small caps really come under pressure. I think they have a tougher time managing supply chains, managing their relationships with their vendors, passing along pricing than the large cap companies do. So the trade war is not necessarily an automatic win for them.
Okay. At this point, you can always hedge. My impression is that it's getting a little too expensive to buy insurance for your investments. So what are your thoughts?
Well, look, I think we saw this trade war issue. It flared up at precisely the wrong time. And when we look at our valuation work, we've seen a lot of risk in the market. One of our models is back to where we were last January and last September. And unfortunately, you know, with this sort of very mild pullback we've seen, we just haven't seen a lot of improvement in that. We also have seen signs of euphoria coming back to the market if you look at how institutional investors have been positioned. And unfortunately, we haven't seen a lot of improvement there either. To me, I still think there's risk in the short term.
The executives whose decisions drive economic growth, among them purchasing managers, what are they doing right now?
Well, I think it's a very, very tough time. I mean, if you go through the earnings calls, you know, what we've noticed is that we're seeing a lot of people saying, well, you know, there's downside risk here. It's too soon to tell. And I think we really have to keep an eye on survey data going forward. And people prefer hard data. I do think we have to keep a close eye on the soft data going forward and really see how corporate confidence has been impacted. Corporate confidence has been very high. It's been inching down. We really do need to see it stabilize. Otherwise, you are going to have to be concerned about what happens to CapEx going forward, what happens to hiring. We're not really seeing big problems on that front yet, but every day this trade war lingers, the risk there grows.
Lori, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Lori Calvasina, she is head of U.S. Equity Strategy at RBC Capital Markets, joining us from New York this morning. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, futures are pointing to a lower open. S&P futures right now, they're actually down just 2 points. The Dow futures, 15 points lower. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures, 10 points lower. That is down 0.1%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. We're brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. We bring brought to you by Eisner Amperit, named Best Global Accounting Firm for the third year in a row by Hedgeweek, a leading hedge fund industry publication. Learn more at EisnerAmperit.com/FS.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We have another escalation in tensions between the U.S. and China. President Trump now is considering cutting the flow of American technology to as many as 5 Chinese companies. Sources tell Bloomberg the White House could blacklist the firms over human rights violations, potentially escalating tensions with Beijing. Mary Lovely is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute.
We're seeing potentially a game changer in terms of how our tech companies operate and the profits that they'll be able to make. So I think we really need to take a step back. Will we? That's not the rhetoric that we've really been hearing. So I hope the president is talking to some very calm and sane voices about what's at risk here.
Stocks in China fell 0.5% today. U.S. futures at the moment are little changed, while European equities are edging higher.
Oil is falling amid concerns the trade war will take a toll on global growth, and that's overshadowing the prospect of production cuts from OPEC. Prices right now, NYMEX crude down 58 cents a barrel at $62.56. Brent down 52 cents a barrel at $71.66.
The pound is trading at the weakest level in 4 months as Theresa May faces increased pressure to abandon her Brexit deal and quit as prime minister. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe banker Caroline Hepker has the latest from London.
Theresa May's efforts to get her Brexit deal through Parliament in early June for a fourth time looked doomed. On Tuesday, the prime minister offered to give MPs the possibility of a second Brexit referendum if they agreed to her deal with the EU first. That was swiftly and robustly rejected. Conservative Party colleagues are urging her to cancel the June vote, leaving her little reason to carry on as leader. In London, Caroline Hepker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Caroline. Back here in the U.S., the Fed is in focus with minutes from the central bank's latest meeting due at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Vinny Dalgiudice reports.
The Federal Open Market Committee maintained a federal funds target range of 2.25% to 2.5% at the meeting. Central bankers have, by and large, signaled support of the current approach to interest rate policy. Patience and plenty of it. Bloomberg Economics says today's minutes could signal if that resolve has started to fray. Vinny Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. At the moment, S&P futures are little changed. Dow futures down just 1 point. NASDAQ futures down nearly 4. 10-year Treasury yield 2.42%. The 2-year at 2.24%. NYMEX crude oil down 53 cents at $62.60 a barrel. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Nathan. 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. The Democratic chairman of the House Judiciary Committee issued subpoenas ordering 2 more of President Donald Trump's former advisors to testify before the panel and hand over documents. Representative Gerald Nadler wants Hope Hicks, the former White House communications director, and Annie Donaldson, who was deputy to former White House counsel Don McGahn, to undergo questioning. The panel is pursuing findings by special counsel Robert Mueller concerning possible obstruction of justice by Trump. A judge is poised to hear oral arguments today over President Donald Trump's efforts to block congressional subpoenas seeking financial records from 2 banks. The hearing occurs after congressional Democrats sought the information from Deutsche Bank and Capital One. A legal memo prepared by the IRS says tax returns must be turned over to Congress if requested. According to the report by the Washington Post, it exposes a disagreement within the Treasury Department, which has refused to comply with the subpoena for President Trump's returns. It was a cringeworthy moment when HUD Secretary Ben Carson testified at a hearing before a freshman congresswoman. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter explains.
California Congresswoman Katie Porter asked Carson about properties that go into foreclosure.
Also like you to get back to me, if you don't mind, to explain the disparity in REO rates. Do you know what an REO is?
An OREO?
An REO.
Real estate?
What's the O stand for?
E-organization?
Owned. Real estate owned. That's what happens when a property goes to foreclosure. We call it an REO.
Carson sent her a package of double-stuffed Oreos. She says she wants answers about housing. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Hundreds of pro-choice rallies took place across the nation yesterday. One of them was outside the Supreme Court in Washington. Minnesota Senator and Democratic presidential candidate Amy Klobuchar was at that rally.
These guys think they're going to take women's health care backward, and are we going to let them? We are not.
Doctors also attended the protests. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. Michael Barr, this is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, the Yankee game began like the one before it had ended with a Gary Sanchez 3-run homer. It won Monday's game in the ninth inning. It began last night in the first. Eight of Sanchez's home runs have been against the Orioles. He's got 14 on the year, tied for third in the league, despite spending time on the injured list. Five of Clint Frazier's eight home runs have been versus Baltimore. He hit two, drove in five runs. The Yanks led 9-0 and won 11-4. Domingo Herman now 9-1. David Hale worked the last four innings. Aaron Boone like that.
Anytime, you know, you can get out to a big lead and then have, you know, one guy and David Hale come in and preserve it, you know, to kind of reset the pen a little bit. Definitely being some guys you want to stay away from, just a good win and that the guys were able to continue to add on a little bit. Yeah, it's a good one.
22nd Yankee win in the last 29 games. Back and forth for the Mets. They were down 3-1, up 4-3, down 5-4. Pete Alonso belted his 16th home run, 8th inning to tie the game when Amed Rosario beat out an infield single bottom of the ninth. The Mets had a 6-5 win over Washington. NBA in Toronto, Raptors won 20, Bucks 102. East Finals tied at 2. Toronto's never been to the NBA Finals, and Milwaukee hasn't been since the mid-1970s. The St. Louis Blues have not played in the Stanley Cup Finals since 1970. Blues at the end of 2018 had the worst record in the NHL. They beat the injury-riddled Sharks in St. Louis 5-1 to win the series in 6. Patrick Maroon's a St. Louis native.
This city's been waiting for this for so many years now, and it's a privilege to be put this jersey on and do it in front of this crowd. Four more wins. Wow, we just got to continue what we're doing.
Play the Bruins as they did in 1970, game one of the Cup Final Monday in Boston. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
John, thanks a lot. 5:37 on Wall Street. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover story on WeWork. Also in this week's issue, the company that's opening its satellite network to the masses. Ashley Vance wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
There's a couple companies doing this. Orbital Insight seems to be the leader in this kind of nascent market. They count things. They use these satellite images to peer down at the Earth, and so they can count things like the number of cars in a Walmart parking lot to see how busy the back-to-school shopping season is. They can look at crops to see how healthy the corn is.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why? Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And also listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly. That's weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. It is 5:38 on Wall Street. And time now for the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. For that, we're joined live by Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, John. Connecticut's biggest business advocacy group has come down against highway tolling, adding its voice to one of the most contentious debates in the General Assembly. The Hartford Courant says the Connecticut Business and Industry Association announced its position on its website yesterday. A couple of lawsuits were filed yesterday accusing Starbucks in New York of using a harsh pesticide not recommended for use around food. The suits claim the chemical DDVP was contained in no pest strips. A spokeswoman for Starbucks tells Bloomberg the lawsuits are misleading and inflated, and those strips have been removed. Lacey Township, New Jersey officials are betting a new inflatable water park will revitalize its lakefront, where crowds have been dwindling from past decades. Asbury Park Press says Lacey will purchase the park from commercial recreation specialists in Wisconsin. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. John?
All right, thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Morgan Stanley says Ford may need to cut more jobs to make up for slowing sales.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm talking about a report Walmart is about to make a major push into the online advertising business with a big New York presentation next week.
I'm Caroline Hepko on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on embattled Prime Minister Theresa May under pressure to resign as her latest Brexit offer is roundly rejected.
I'm Steve Podolsky on KYW in Philadelphia, we're looking at a quarterly win from Urban Outfitters.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on around the world this morning. In other news, BMW CEO Harald Krueger's job is at risk. That's according to sources who tell Bloomberg several supervisory board members have questioned whether Krueger is the right person to lead the company at such a critical time. S&P futures right now, unchanged. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Still ahead on Bloomberg, Federal Reserve minutes today from their last policy meeting. The market is betting on a cut. Others say not so fast. We'll speak with Bloomberg U.S. economist Carl Riccadonna.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Nathan Hager, S&P futures down 2 points right now. Dow futures down 12. NASDAQ futures down 16 points. The DAX in Germany up about 0.25%. The CAC in Paris, little changed. FTSE in London up almost 0.5%. Price, the 10-year little change, the yield 2.42% now, 2-year yield 2.24%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.9%, down 59 cents, $62.54 a barrel. COMEX gold up 40 cents, $12.73.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1170 against the dollar, the yen at 110.45. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash with more on what's going on around the world. Here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you very much. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler has subpoenaed two more of President Trump's former advisors to testify before the panel. Nadler wants Hope Hicks and Annie Donaldson to be questioned. A federal judge was told the U.S. Customs and Border Protection has put up just 1.7 miles of fencing with $1.57 billion that Congress appropriated last year for President Trump's wall along the Mexican border. A lawyer for the U.S. House provided the information to a California judge who is weighing requests from 20 state attorneys general to block Trump from using funds not authorized by Congress to build the wall. In baseball, the Yankees down the Orioles. The Mets beat the Nationals. The Red Sox lost. The A's and Giants were winners. In the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, the Raptors beat the Bucks last night to tie it at 2 games each. In the NHL, it's a Blues-Bruins Stanley Cup Final. St. Louis won the Western Conference after beating the Sharks 5-1. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Time now to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. This is our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. And we're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Opinion Managing Editor in our London Bureau. Ed, good morning to you. Let's start off with this piece by Therese Raphael. Theresa May's swan song is sadly off-key. What does she mean?
This is Sir Theresa May's latest offer to MPs on Brexit. Throughout her time as Prime Minister, May has really had two overriding goals. Seal her deal to get Britain out of the European Union and hold her divided Conservative Party together under her leadership. And both those goals look impossible after her latest offer. First on Brexit, May has failed to win approval for her negotiated deal three times now. Her fourth shot at this really has pleased nobody. In fact, it looks as though it's irritated more on her own side without bringing enough over from the Labour side to get it through. Her key sweetener this time was a promise to give MPs a vote on whether to hold a second referendum as long as they sign up to her deal. Now, this is anathema to Tory Brexiters. It's designed, in fact, to appeal to Labour moderates, who, of course, that party, of course, is support in favour of a second referendum, though only on a deal it likes and if other options have been exhausted. It looks as though nobody's taken up that suggestion. Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, of course, is a long-time Brexiter, has immediately come out against it, putting him in line, curiously, with Conservative hardliners like Dominic Raab. Fundamentally, this new offer doesn't change the core deal. If you look at the customs union, very little has changed there. Is it going to fix party unity? Well, we're a little late for that now, and it looks like Theresa May's days as Prime Minister are surely numbered. There is now a campaign for the leadership underway, a divide between the One Nation Conservatives on one side, those who represent centre-right moderate conservatism, and on the other, a blue-collar Conservative movement really linked to hardline Brexiters and an appeal to the working-class voters. Watch tomorrow's European election. We'll see Nigel Farage likely to make big gains against both the Conservatives and Labour. And that may mean that the Conservative Party is more likely to go for Boris Johnson or a hard Brexit candidate as a successor to May. Where does this all leave Brexit? Well, heading towards another extension when the latest extension expires in October, or no deal.
A lot of twists and turns. Oh. Now, steer us through this next story from Chris Bryant. BMW looking for the ultimate driving machine.
Yes. Now, Bloomberg reported late on Tuesday that some BMW supervisory board members are questioning whether BMW CEO Harald Kruger is the right man to be driving the company. Does it need a more aggressive or visionary chief executive? Now, there's no doubt that BMW's profits have deteriorated under Kruger and the share price has performed abysmally. His cautious leadership style appears to have unsettled some people. There is a healthy debate here to be had, though, about whether anyone else could do much better. And the answer seems to be no. I mean, what qualities would you want in a car maker CEO anyway? I mean, Carlos Ghosn's fall from grace at Renault suggests you don't want an autocratic leader. At Volkswagen, the forceful Herbert Diess has made some bold moves, but his pugnacious approach has riled the trade unions. And what about a visionary? Well, we don't hear much from the Elon Musk crowd, and we hear little of Jim Hackett at Ford with his Silicon Valley buzzwords in recent months. It may be that Kruger's pragmatic, cautious start might actually be a good thing at a time of unprecedented technological and regulatory upheaval. At BMW's shareholder meeting last week, he told investors that putting all the company's eggs in one basket, i.e. electric vehicles, was the wrong approach. And in fact, he's pursuing a mixture of electric, hybrid and fuel cell cars. Now, this might sound like a lack of conviction, but it might also be a sensible way of hedging his bets. In hindsight, it looks that Kruger's biggest mistake was simply to faint on stage at the Frankfurt Auto Show in front of hundreds of journalists just weeks after he took up the job back in 2015. The question of is he up to it seems to have dogged him ever since, perhaps unfairly.
Edward Evans, Bloomberg Opinion Managing Editor in our London Bureau. Thanks a lot, Ed. We appreciate it. You can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg Terminal by typing O-P-I-N. Go. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute, resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning. Steve Potisk has those in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
House Democrats have repeated their call for more climate science and protections from rising sea levels. The Trump administration has proposed $1 billion in cuts to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. A class action lawsuit against Nike alleging systemic sex discrimination can go forward. The federal court ruling marks the latest bias suit to gain traction targeting unequal pay and promotions. And in Washington state, it is now legal to compost bodies. Under the measure, bodies can be laid to rest at facilities licensed to handle the accelerated
accelerated human decomposition.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, former White House counsel Don McGahn defied a congressional subpoena by declining to testify before the House Judiciary Committee yesterday. For more on the story, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with University of Texas School of Law professor Stephen Vladek.
Tell us how convincing the arguments that the Office of Legal Counsel made are.
Well, I mean, June, I think the first thing is to point out what the OLC opinion did not say. I mean, I think we've seen a lot of claims in the press from the president, et cetera, that he can stop McGahn from testifying. And to me, one of the most important things about the OLC opinion is it doesn't back that up at all. There's no legal authority cited for the proposition that the president can somehow prevent a private citizen from voluntarily appearing before Congress. The real question is if, as seems likely, McGahn doesn't want to voluntarily appear before Congress, can the Congress punish him? That is to say, is he immune from some kind of sanction for failing to appear? And June, that's where I think the OLC memo is, for lack of a better word, short on legal precedent. I mean, the examples the OLC opinion cites are all prior OLC opinions, and the one significant judicial ruling in a confrontation like this by D.C. District Judge John Bates in 2008 in the Harriet Myers case runs in the other direction. So, you know, I think the OLC opinion probably won't stand up in court, but at least for now it provides enough cover where that's where I think this battle is going to have to be joined.
Are the president's assertions of executive privilege more persuasive than the assertions that were made before the district judge about oversight not being proper?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it would be very helpful if we broke out the two sets of legal questions that are arising in all of these cases. The first question is, does Congress have the power to issue the subpoena at all? And that was the issue that the district court resolved. June, that's the argument that I think is on the weakest footing from the president's perspective going forward, whether as applied to his private business records or to Don McGahn testifying. But it was always going to be true that the stronger arguments against these subpoenas were going to be specific objections to requests for particular documents that might be protected by either executive privilege or attorney-client privilege, and questions under oath, the answers to which might violate one of those privileges. The problem, June, is that those are so much more retail that those aren't reasons to not show up and testify at all, right? That is to say, you know, if that's the real objection, McGahn can still testify about plenty of stuff that no one would argue is privileged.
That's University of Texas School of Law professor Stephen Vladek speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law. It airs weekdays at noon, Wall Street time, here on Bloomberg Radio. Find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures down a point and a half now. Dow futures down 3 points. NASDAQ futures down almost 13 points. 10-year Treasury yield 2.42%. The 2-year at 2.24%. NYMEX crude down 52 cents, $62.61 a barrel. The euro at 1.1168 against the dollar. The yen is at 110.47. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg. Good morning.